This morning is going to be a little bit different because I felt that it was significant. How many of you caught the prophetic words that were released last weekend? A number of them, some of them? Okay. How many of you have ever heard a prophetic word being spoken before? It's okay if you haven't. How many of you in that moment, kind of like a deer in the headlights, didn't know what was supposed to happen next? Okay. So this morning, I am not going to preach at you, okay? I'm not going to preach to you. We're going to have a teaching morning together because I want to unpack with you what is the responsibility that we have when you hear a prophetic word. I've heard messages on the prophetic gifting. I've heard messages on how that functions. But one of the areas that I think as a church, maybe we just need to unpack a little bit is what happens after the word has been released, because that rests on each and every one of us. So this morning's style is going to be a little bit different than normal. I hope that you are willing to be flexible in that and gracious with that. And hopefully we can dig in a little bit so that we don't miss what it was that happened last weekend or in the future, because the truth is that scripture says that in the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit and his sons and daughters are going to prophesy. And so as we enter the last days, this is not going to become a lessened gift. Scripture actually says as we enter the last days, this is going to become more increasing. So it's important that we understand what to do with that, right? I'm actually going to ask, maybe Alicia, if you wouldn't mind helping me, if you go back, Billy has a sheet with blanks on it. So there is a sizable amount of content this morning, and I don't want that to be overwhelming for you. So I do have a printout of some of the slides for those of you who like to be able to have the information, but the sheet Alicia is going to hand out to you is a worksheet, and I will tell you when you can use it in the message so that you can track with some of the key points about your responsibility in receiving a prophetic word. There are pens in the chairs in front of you if you don't have one in your purse. We are a little short, so if you don't have enough in your row for the number of people, just nab one from the row in front of you or tap some sweet lady on the shoulder with a purse. Okay, we're going to get to that sheet in a few minutes, and I'm going to make it really simple to fill in those blanks. I apologize, I couldn't make the font bigger. I didn't want to give you 5 pages. I know. I've reached an age where I appreciate a bigger font. I went to the optometrist yesterday, and we were discussing my prescription and how I should or shouldn't use that and what I should do, and I thought, man, I've aged a lot in the last couple years. Okay. Matured. I've matured. My eyeballs have matured in the last couple years. In Jesus' name, it's not all. Okay, so we're going to unpack the prophetic this morning. A prophet is someone who has heard directly from the Lord and speaks on his behalf. Okay, so you can see in the Old Testament, we have books that are called prophetic literature. So you want to think Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, those kind of books. Those are books of what happened in prophets' lives. But they have heard directly from the Lord, and they speak on his behalf what they have heard him say. So when you read those prophets speaking, it often has a "thus saith the Lord" if you're in the King James text, right? That's how you know what's going on there. A prophecy represents God's evaluation of the actions of his people coupled with his gracious call to respond to his word. Okay, a prophecy has these two components in it, and so it's him saying, hey, here's what you're doing. Here's the response. Generally, it's a call and a response exchange. In the Old Testament, we see prophets shared their words as a call to righteousness as well as judgment or blessing. In the Old Testament, there are some heavy-handed prophecies. They are very direct, they are very clear, they are very weighty, and the endings of them are not very bright sometimes. And that was what was going on about, hey, you're walking this way, and if you don't get in alignment, this is what's going to happen. Or in the Old Testament, often we see, you are walking this way, and because you walk this way, here's the consequence to those actions, because I love you, and you need to understand that I won't tolerate sin in your camp. So in the Old Testament, that's often how it functions. In the New Testament, though, the focus of the prophetic shifts towards edification and exhortation. It's a very confusing thing for the body of Christ, particularly as we look at the gift of prophecy as it functions now, because now you will see people who say there can be judgment prophecies, there shouldn't be judgment prophecies. Currently, which way does it fall, right? I've heard some pretty bleak prophetic words from people that are not in line with what Scripture says is the heart of New Testament prophecy. New Testament prophecy, it says, will always edify and encourage. It will exhort. It will lift you up. In the Old Testament, as the prophets go about, basically prophetic words were a divinely inspired alarm system that God activated whenever the nation began to depart from his revealed ways. So what does that mean? One of our favorite stories in our house from the Bible is the story of Jeremiah the prophet and the underwear. Have you heard that one? Yeah, we've talked about it a couple times. So Jeremiah is a prophet, and he's told by the Lord to go buy a linen belt, which is basically underwear made of what the priest's garments were from, and he was supposed to wear it and not take it off. So he puts it on and he doesn't take it off, and it was to symbolize the formerly intimate relationship between God and Judah. He was told, don't wash it, and that was a sign of Judah's pride, the scripture says. He was then to go to Perath and bury the underwear under a rock. Many days later, God tells him to go back and to get the underwear, but they were totally destroyed. And God unpacks this prophetic word in action through the prophetic word where he declares that he will destroy the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Their wickedness and unwillingness to listen to God's word and to follow their own stubborn hearts will render them completely useless, like the underwear that had been under the rock. That's a heavy word. I am thankful today God has not told me to bury my underwear under a rock. And we all said, amen. So this prophetic word is very clear. It's very distinct. Here's what you're doing. Here's what I'm calling you to, and you're not living in it. And because you're not living in it, here's what's going on. We have prophetic words in the Old Testament where the prophets prepared the way for Christ. You think of, as we head into Christmas, Isaiah's messianic prophecies where he talks about the child and he talks about his life and he talks about his death. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5. The prophecies prepared the way for Christ. We received a personal and specific call from God, is how a prophet was distinguished in the Old Testament. And they would not only make the proclamation of what was to happen, but they would unpack it. You see, there were some people who were leaning into making statements in the Old Testament, but they weren't unpacking it. And Scripture lays out for us that a true prophet in the Old Testament would not only make the statement, they would unpack what it meant, because God's heart was to sound this alarm so that the people of Israel could realign themselves back in his way, that they would come back under his blessing and his preferred choice of living. Now that is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see that to prophesy is a verb that talks about to proclaim a divinely imparted message, to foretell and to bring light to something that's hidden, or to teach and to admonish and to comfort. Jesus was a prophet, the Bible says. It says he declared that he was a prophet when he read from the scroll the words of Isaiah. And then it also says that other people, in Luke it talks about other people affirmed that he was a prophet, and they acknowledged him in that space. Jesus prepares the disciples in the New Testament for their prophetic function, and he promises them that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and he instructs them to pray to receive the gift of the Spirit continually. Why? Because it's through the Holy Spirit that the prophetic utterances come. He didn't just give it, and after saying he's going to give it, walk away. He says, hey, I want to give you this gift, but you need to continually pray that I will move in and through you via the Holy Spirit, and that you can lean into the prophetic words that I want to impart to my people. That is a responsibility that we as New Testament believers hold as the church today. In Acts chapter 2, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter prophesies from Joel's words and says that the time is now. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy in the last days. Like I said earlier, there's going to be visions. There's going to be dreams. There's going to be words. There's going to be speech. And that was the marker point that shows us, and we would say that the Holy Spirit indwells all of us once we've submitted our lives to Christ's Lordship, right? We know that the minute that we confess that Jesus is Lord and that he's been dead and that he's been resurrected and he'll come back for us again, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Everyone agrees with that, right? No question. But then there's this second baptism of the Holy Spirit, the second coming upon that we read about in the book of Acts. And what's happening there is that once that happens, we all now have the ability to function in the gift of prophecy. Just like we all have the ability to speak tongues, just like happened in Acts chapter 2. We don't believe that those gifts are done. They are still alive and active and available to the church today. And so when we look at the function of prophecy in the church now, we don't have, per se, prophets. The reason for that being that if you can hear my voice today and you have submitted your life to Christ's Lordship, you can operate in the gift of prophecy. How many of you have ever thought about that before? How many of you that scares you? Just a tiny tad, right? Yeah, two hands on that one. And so the thing is that prophecy conveys the Father's heart. That's what happens in prophecy today. So if you are hearing a prophecy and that prophecy is heavy-handed, negative, and is basically condemning someone, that is not the Father's heart as prophecy is conveyed in the New Testament and as we function. And it's very important that you know that because you have some responsibilities as you hear or give a prophecy. So this is what I want you to know this morning. Very, very important. The Holy Spirit lives in all believers. We all have access to his gifts, which includes prophecy. There are, like other gifts, some who function in this gifting more consistently. So think of it this way. How many of you play an instrument or like to sing or have some sort of musical gifting? It doesn't have to be good. You have some sort of gifting. It's not many of you. Okay. Actually, let's do it this way. Stand up if that was you. Humor me for a second. Don't be cheeky. If you have some sort of ability, Hedrick children, stand up. I see some choir members in the back row back there who are still sitting. It doesn't matter how old you are. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be poured out regardless of your age, regardless of your gender. Okay. Now, of those of you who are standing, how many of you use that musical gifting in worship to edify and encourage the body of Christ on a regular basis? So you're part of a worship team, you're part of maybe a church choir that goes out and encourages people. If it's not you, that's okay, sit down.
How about if you just sing at church?
You can sing, yeah. We're talking about in a capacity, though, where you lean into it regularly and you bring other people along with you. Now, for those people who sat, okay, are you any less gifted than any one of these people? Not at all. Not even a little bit. What is the difference here? They walk in their gifting more consistently. They walk in their gifting in this way more regularly. Does that make them better than, worse than, different than any of you who had stood up and sat down? No. Okay, you guys can sit. Thank you. The prophetic is no different. Every single one of you can operate in a prophetic gifting. Every one of you. But not all of you do that consistently. So then we have someone like Pastor John Raymer, who was here last weekend, who does operate in the prophetic more consistently, who for various reasons operates that no better, no worse. He just steps out in that gifting a little bit more differently. And that's what this is talking about. Some people function in it more consistently. When I was growing up in church, it was a solid Pentecostal church, and often we would have words and tongues and interpretation. How many of you have ever seen or heard that happen in a service before? How many of you have noticed it is generally the same people who step out in that gifting in a corporate setting? Now, there are some theories about that in different ways, just like the same ones can apply to the prophetic, right? Some people, they just do that. Other people have more faith to step out. It is intimidating. If you ever think that you have a word in tongues to share corporately, or you have a word of interpretation, man, it is probably the scariest feeling in the world to be like, I have to stand up now and say that this is that. It's really, it can be overwhelming. And there are times, admittedly, where I have had a feeling that maybe I had the word of interpretation when someone publicly stood up and spoke in tongues. And then in my humanness, I was like, yeah, no, you have never operated in that before. You are totally off base. I don't think this is it. And God in his goodness, he will always impart the interpretation to his word. We'll never have a corporate word of tongues for the edification of the body that does not come with an interpretation. And so if you have that word and you're not standing up and the waiting happens, God will give the word to someone else. And sure enough, the other person stepped forward with the word and I was like, huh, that was the same version I had of what that meant. They had the faith to step up and say it, where I lacked the faith to step forward in that way. Not right, not wrong, just the way to walk that we walk that out. Prophecy, next point, which is incredibly important, and if you hear only one thing that I say today, please make this the one, okay? Because it's very important. Prophecy is not scripture and cannot demand unquestioned obedience. Okay? Prophecy cannot add to scripture. It doesn't stand on the same ground as scripture. And I have seen too often someone walk into a corporate setting, whether it's a small group Bible study, Sunday morning church or whatever, and they have a prophetic word. And when people don't walk that out the way that they think they should, they demand obedience to it. They criticize, they condemn, they hold it over, and it's not the same. Pastor Trevor and I, and I'm sure many of you, can share stories of incredibly off-base prophetic words that were not from the Lord, that people mandated obedience to as though it was the word of God because they said that it was, and it was so unhealthy and so detrimental and so not good. Okay, so You can't hold a prophetic word on par with scripture. We have entire religions that are so similar to Christianity and so different for that one reason. They have had someone who has a prophetic revelation that they have decided is the equivalent to scripture, and they've added it in and now use it as their compass point in faith. Discern the difference, okay? You guys got this? And I don't mean to make you think that I think you're not smart enough to. I've just watched many lives suffer the price of that having been held over them. And so we need to know that they're different. And so that leads us to this morning, the part that you have in front of you that I really want you to use to empower you, because this is what I don't want. I don't want the words that we received last weekend and the words that will come forward in the future, I don't want us to miss them. But in not missing them, that means we have to know how to discern them. That's what we're called to do. So we have a responsibility in receiving a word, okay? So if you look at your fill-in-the-blank sheet, okay? If you go halfway down, the first bullet point, what is the responsibility of the person hearing and receiving a prophetic word? If you have your Bibles, take them with you and flip to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Actually, we're going to start at 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can take it out on your phone, on your iPad. Flip your onion skin paper pages. 19, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Okay, it is important that we weigh them out. It is important that we see the significance of them. It is important that we don't resent them. I've been a part of a lot of services where Holy Spirit starts moving and you can see people build up a wall. Because it's like they're offended by what's happening. Don't become contemptful towards what Holy Spirit is doing in that moment. But instead, verse 21, test everything and hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So you have a responsibility when you hear a word. Your responsibility that you're filling in these bullet points is to test and weigh the word. As the person having heard it, you are obligated to do that. Don't accept it blindly. Just don't. Test it and weigh it. When you test it, keep only the good part. Does that sound weird? Anyone? Anyone think that sounds odd, that a prophecy could have a good part and a bad part that you're going to get rid of? Here's the deal. The person giving you the prophetic word is fully human. They are. And in our humanness, even when we operate in spiritual giftings, we have the capacity to put a little bit more of ourselves in there than maybe we ought to. So when you hear a prophetic word, you need to be aware that that person is speaking what they believe God has revealed to them, but they're doing it through a human lens. And if you talk to anyone who has at all operated in a prophetic way, they will tell you there are words that there are words personally that I have given to people, and I knew confidently a portion. And the other portion I felt went with it, and so I shared it. And when I asked that person after the fact, did that resonate with you? Is that affirming to something that God is speaking to you or doing in your life? The part that I knew I was confident about was bang on the money. The other part, it was not. And I had that question. If you, as you develop your prophetic gifting, as you walk that out more, you begin to realize and become aware of what's going on. And so sometimes maybe a portion is good, and maybe a portion was that person kind of misreading. Or I've heard one person say that they were somewhere and they heard a prophetic word given to the person beside them, and that person was kind of staring at the person like, that doesn't even make any sense in my life. That's not even relevant. Meanwhile, the word fit their life to the T and was the direction and the answer they were looking for from the Lord. The person heard the word right. They were like one person to the left. We're human. We have to allow room to be able to figure those things out. And that is one of the very important reasons that we also recognize that prophetic words are not on par with Scripture. If you are going to do this, you are going to have to know the Word of God. You're going to have to get in it. You're going to have to dig. If you're going to do this, you have to have spiritual maturity and discernment. But I want to be clear, those things are not based on your age, either physically or spiritually. Some people are gifted with discernment. Other people develop it. Some people are gifted with a heart for the Scriptures, and they dig in, and they're able to recognize and to know what's right. But we need to become mature so that as we enter these last days and prophecies abound, we can tell a true prophecy from a false prophecy, because Scripture is also clear that there will be false prophets. We have got to know the difference. We're mandated to. And so we have to hone our skills in discerning prophecy. The only way to follow the instructions to not treat them with contempt, to not become apathetic with them or lazy with them or to turn our back to them, is that we dig in, we honor the gifts of the Spirit, and we begin to activate them in a corporate setting so that we can tell what truly is the Lord and what truly is not. That is one of our responsibilities in receiving a word. Now, maybe you didn't know, there are responsibilities on the leaders and the elders when prophetic words are given. How many of you knew that? Seriously, that is part of being a leader. You are responsible. I'd also like to add that there is a responsibility when a prophetic word is given on those who step out in a prophetic gifting more often, okay? So we have leaders and elders, and then those people who lean into that gifting a little more freely. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me, I think I might have actually put a wrong scripture in here. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 3. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. As leaders and elders, we are obligated to walk this out. We must correct, we must rebuke, and we must encourage. When a false word comes forward, it is the responsibility of the leaders and the elders and other prophetically gifted people to step out and say, that's not from the Lord. We don't accept that. That's not an easy place to be. It is the responsibility of the leaders and the elders to operate with great patience and careful instruction. You have to lean into Scripture. You have to lean into His presence. You have to lean into the resources that He gives. And we have to do this because a time is coming when sound doctrine is going to be completely thrown aside. And I would like to suggest that we are already living in that day and age. There's some pretty wishy-washy versions of Christianity. There are some pretty hardline, cut and dry, grace lacking versions of Christianity too. We have to be able to discern right doctrine, and it is the charge of the leaders and the elders to operate in a way that keeps the assembly that they are charged with, the people that God has given them to love, to keep them in line. If we flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, and you can, it's just one verse, you don't have to if you don't want. 14:29 says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. If you are in a room and you have Holy Spirit in you, we've established you can operate in a prophetic gifting, right? We've also established some people do that a little bit more regularly than other people. And as we go through that, again, please remember, I have these slides printed out at the back, so if you would like a copy, I will get more if I need them. If you are someone who operates more in that gifting, you have a discernment, really, for whether or not that gift lines up. And you would be shocking how many times you can have something go on and the people who walk in that gifting more so than others or more consistently look at each other and go, that was a good word. That one was on the money. You would also be surprised how many times if you operate in that gifting, I have been in a place and I'm going, that wasn't a bad word. I don't know that that was the word. I don't know that that was actually the Lord's word for this minute. And if I don't even say anything, because that is kind of the true test to me, I don't even bring it up. But if I position myself conversationally with people that I know operate in that gifting, 9.5 times out of 10, they will conversationally look at me and go, you think that word was on point? I don't actually think that was appropriate. I don't think that was the right word. I don't think that was the application. I think it really missed the mark. And consistently, you will see the discerning. That is why I would argue scripturally that when you look at many of the passages on the other part of this paper where the prophetic gift is in action, prophetic people tend to be together. They tend to kind of be grouped. You can see it in the book of Acts, and they come because there's accountability in that. There is nothing worse than a rogue person with a prophetic gifting who feels they can slap down whatever word they want without any kind of accountability. That is a scary, scary place to be. And so prophetic people need to weigh the prophetic words that they hear around them. Make sense? Are you with me? I know, it's not normal this morning, but I hope you are getting something out of this. And I hope that even if it's not this week, at some point something's going to happen and you're going to come back to this moment and go, huh, really glad I knew what to do with that one. I really truly believe that we will all face those moments in the days ahead. Okay, if you go up to the top of your paper where you have numbers 1 through 5 and then there's lines, all of this is taken directly out of a position paper from our fellowship on the prophetic gifting. You can get it online. I'm happy to print off copies if you would like one. But these are the key points that I feel are very, very important that we know as believers. And I want you to have in your Bible, at home, somewhere you can dig into them, take some devotional material out of them. The role of the prophetic in the New Testament. Okay, this is important to understand because if we're going to discern if a word happening around us is in line with the scriptures and is in line with God's heart, we have to understand how it plays out in the New Testament. So, prophecy is intended to strengthen, first blank, to encourage, and to comfort the gathered body of believers in an environment of mutual love and consideration. 1 Corinthians 14, 1-5. Its primary purpose is corporate edification. If you hear a prophetic word and it does not edify the body, it's not on. Period. Even if it's corrective or it's a warning, there will always be edification in it. It will always lift the body higher. It will always draw them closer together. It will always encourage them. That is your first marker for those words. It's very important that you know that. I have heard stories of words that basically condemned people to death. And people made life decisions based on those words. That's awful. Because that's not New Testament prophecy. That's not what we're talking about here. It's corporate edification. It's mutual love. Prophecy is basically this. It is the Father's heart being poured out on his children. And his heart is love. His heart is unity. It's drawing close to him and to each other. So it's always strengthening, it's always encouraging, and it's always comforting. That's the intent of it. Number two, prophecy exercised in the corporate gathering can serve to convince unbelievers that they are indeed in the presence of a living God, causing them to recognize their need for God and to respond to him appropriately. How many of you as believers, when you heard the words of prophecy, not just on the weekend, okay, wherever you found yourself listening to them, how many of you have found yourself faced with the reality that you were indeed in the presence of a living God? It's a crazy cool thing to realize that he's not just the God of the scriptures. He wasn't just actively involved with the people in the pages of the Bible. He's actively involved in your life. And he's so invested that he would put someone else in your path to speak his heart to your situation. It's transformative. And if it is that for each of us, how much more for the unbeliever who finds themselves among us and goes, holy cow, how did that person know that? And you get to go, well, they didn't. The Lord revealed it. The Lord made it known. And to be able to be in the face of that. Number three. Prophecy, since it entails the telling forth of the mind of the Lord, provides an opportunity for believers to be instructed as they are reminded of previously revealed truth that the Holy Spirit desires to emphasize to a given group on a particular occasion. Instructed and Holy Spirit are the blanks there. What does that mean? That means this. If you hear a prophetic word that is unlike anything you've ever heard for your life before, run. It's not going to be new revelation. It's going to affirm and confirm something that is going on in your midst or in your life that you have been sensing, that God's been speaking through scripture. If it doesn't, then what I would strongly advise you to do, I personally am a firm believer, you should write down every prophetic word you receive. Why? We're going to get to that in a little bit, but the evidence is in the fruit. If you don't remember it, you're not going to know if it was accurate or not. There's a track record thing that happens there. But the reason that you would write it down if it's new to you right now is you can't make decisions based off of that word. If that truly was the Lord, you need that confirmed and affirmed with no one knowing multiple times in multiple ways. Because if you make a decision off of that word that you have never had any inclination towards before, what if it's wrong? That's not good. If it is the Lord, you can wait on it, and it's okay. It'll still come to pass. So you really need to realize that it is not going to be something that's going to upend your life in a way that you didn't expect or didn't know. And I would argue that with this next point, this is a place we can see it in a different context. Prophecy can provide insight into specific future events in the short term, such as Agabus' prophetic words to Paul concerning the trials he was about to face in Jerusalem. The words of the prophet were not directive in nature, although Paul's friends responded to them by trying to dissuade him from his journey. The prophecy simply served as a divinely given warning to prepare the apostle for the struggles that lay ahead. So, if you were to flip to this passage in Acts, what you would find out is that Agabus gives Paul a prophecy. Paul is going on a journey, and he says to Paul, here, like, he takes a belt, he wraps his hands up, and he goes, so if you follow through with this, this is going to be you, and you're going to have extreme consequences, and so this is the Lord's warning, don't do it. Fortunately for Paul, because he's discerning, he knew he was to do it. It was a prophetic word. He wasn't wrong, but the word was not to redirect his actions like Agabus had interpreted that word to mean himself. The word was to say to Paul, this isn't going to be easy. This is going to be hard, but don't worry. I'm going before you and I'm going with you, and you're not on your own in this. You have to understand that the word affirmed. And so Agabus lacked the context of what God had already revealed to Paul in that setting. Number five, the prophetic gift functions alongside other ministry gifts in the work of equipping believers with unity in Christ-like character, doctrinal stability, and balanced gift-based functionality, preparing them for effective ministry as the living embodiment of Christ in this world. The prophetic gifting does not trump any other gifting in the body. We have to know that, because sometimes what can happen is that it's such a wow gift. Like, some of those gifts, they're wow gifts, right? When someone can walk in a room and read your mail, you just go, wow. That's the nature of that moment. But we need to understand that in the body of Christ, we can't elevate the prophetic over any of those other gifts. They all work together to equip believers to be the living embodiment of Christ in the world. They shore up doctrine. They don't tear it apart, prophetic words. They bring about Christ-like character. So they don't bring about pride and ego and those kinds of things, because that's not Christ-like. So we have to understand these things about prophetic words, prophetic giftings, so that we can weigh out in the context of corporate and personal settings whether a word is accurate, whether a word is one that we need to hold on to, where we said at the beginning, you keep the good and you set aside the bad. We have to be able to discern these things. And I would encourage you that this week or in the weeks ahead, those scripture references that are in there, dig into them. Look at them. Look at what's going on there. The last thing that we are going to look at this morning that we need to know as we weigh out prophetic words are the criteria that we use to evaluate a prophecy. Okay? They're simple. Quickest part of this morning's message. Scripture. You can always evaluate the validity of a prophetic word on Scripture. No questions asked. If it's opposed to Scripture, throw it out. Period. No questions asked. Get rid of it right away. The confirmation of the Holy Spirit in the believer. You as the believer, you as the one hearing the word, you're going to have a check whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, why do we need all the checks? Well, because we're human, and sometimes we might like a word, and we might just have a fondness towards it, and it might be a great word, but maybe our like of it just kind of marginalizes our ability to discern it a little bit or to aptly apply it. Someone was telling me this week that on one of their car rides home, I think it was Saturday night, as they drove home, this husband and wife ended up discussing the prophetic words that were given given to them in Saturday night service. And the one said to the other, well, yeah, this part really made sense to me and was great, but this part didn't make any sense. And the wife looked at the husband and said, but it's so obvious, it means this. And she unpacked because she had a sense of discernment. And as they unpacked that together, which is the beauty of a marriage relationship and leaning into each other's strengths and discernments, they were able to affirm that with scripture and the word and the checks in their spirit, that this, they believe, was the right word of the Lord for them in this season. The final check and balances is the fruit that the word produces. Is the fruit of that prophetic word life-giving and encouraging? Again, if it's not, you got to weigh it out with all of the other components and possibly set it aside. And the fulfillment of the prophetic word. One thing that prophetic people are not taught often enough that is becoming a new teaching that I would strongly encourage anyone who steps out in this gifting, you need to track your words. I have met many people who say they are prophetically gifted, but they've never spent any time seeing if any of their words that they shared came to pass. So they will walk in a room and proclaim themselves as being prophetically gifted, but truth be told, nobody actually knows if any of those words stuck. And it's actually a very beautifully humbling thing to share a word with someone and then say, does that resonate with what God is speaking to you? Or would you be okay if I check back in with you in a couple months? Or if this when this does come to pass, would you shoot me an email or call me with technology? It's so much easier now. But because it builds both of you up, that's the edification, that's the process, that's the partnership. It's not an isolated gift like some might actually think that it is. It functions as a part of the body. So what this allows us to do, and don't worry, this is the end, okay? This is the fun part. This is where it gets easy. Thank you for bearing with me. How many of you have found this beneficial in some way? If it's not, don't put your hand up. I won't feel bad. Okay, good. So I spent an hour the other night, and I transcribed Sunday morning service. There were multiple prophetic messages that were woven into last Sunday morning service and Saturday service and Friday service. There were multiple prophetic words that were pointedly given to people outside of the context of the message as well. But so I went through, I wrote it all down, and I picked one of the words that we're going to look at here together this morning, and we're just going to weigh it out together, because if we can't do it practically, we're no further ahead, right? So I chose the very first one that happened Sunday morning. If you were here, you'll remember when I invited Pastor John and Christine up and she gave some greetings, she reaffirmed a word that she had shared on Friday night. And unfortunately, until this morning, I didn't have access to that word, so I will get it. But on Friday night, she had a prophetic word to the extent of us as a church drinking deeply of the Spirit of God. How many of you remember that? Okay, so Sunday morning, she stood up and she said, drink deeply of the Spirit of God. That is what we did last night, Saturday, and I sense this church is walking into a season of drinking deeply of the Spirit of God. That brings freedom from our past and liberty for our future and the ability to go and win others and tell them what Jesus has done for us because we stand completely free in Jesus. That was the very first thing that Christine shared with us. So if you take your paper, we're just going to look at the assessment tools. If we evaluate that word by scripture, does it hold? What do you think? Yeah, it does. Now, we're just going to shout out here. What comes to mind scripturally? Is there any scripture that comes to mind that would resonate with this word that would have you thinking, yes, this is good? It's okay if you don't. I did the digging beforehand because I knew we would have time factors. In John chapter 4, Jesus talks about he's the living water and whoever drinks from him will have eternal life. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, it says, drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8 says, "Drink deeply of the pleasures of God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him." So can we back it with solid scripture? Yeah, we can. How many of you, when you heard the word from Christine, had a check in your spirit that this was a good word and it resonated and it was right for the season and time that we are in as a church body? Absolutely. So we have multiple of us who can do that. Now, we have to talk about fruit. Can we answer the fruit of this word right now, or do we have to hit pause on it and wait and see what happens in the future? We have to wait. Who thinks we have to wait? What about baby fruit? Who thinks that we can see some of it now? It's both. We can see a little bit of it now. We had that experience last weekend, and we had the choice to lean in or to lean out, and what did we choose? We leaned in. Now, if we continue to make that choice, because here's something I want to make clear, you have to choose to lean into the prophetic word. It is like, think of it as accelerant for a fire. This is God's preferred future, and his word will activate that and get us on course to that quicker, but if you don't lean into it, the accelerant is wasted, right? So we can, you can, leverage is a really bad word, but it's like you can leverage that moment and that direction to access his heart and his plans and his purposes even more. So we see some of it now. I believe we will see the fulfillment of this in the future. Okay, prophecy is intended to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Does this word do that? Does it strengthen us to know that we are walking into a season of drinking deeply? Does it strengthen us to know that the Spirit of God brings freedom from our past and liberty for our future? Is that also encouraging? Is it comforting if you've had a pretty bondage-ridden past? Okay, so I think we can all agree we've checked off the first one. The prophecy is affirming that we are indeed in the presence of a living God, number two. Well, she said the prophecy on Friday, and we thought it was good. She said it the first time. By the time we got to the end of the weekend and she said this again, I don't know about you, but I felt great about it. Because I felt like we had lived it out throughout the course of the weekend and we could see it coming through. So I felt affirmed about that. Anyone else? Okay. It entails a telling forth of the mind of God to be instructed and reminded about a previously revealed truth of the Holy Spirit. Well, we have the scriptural component, so we know that that is the mind and heart of God. Leadership team in the room, board members. Does this affirm what we have sensed God calling us to as a church around the leadership table? Show of hands, yes or no? Yes? Excellent. Every single one. And if I called Sharon from before she left, she would say the exact same thing. It can provide insight into future events. Liberty for our future. Sounds pretty futuristic, right? Also, in the future, which I would argue to you is now, so pick up the mantle, the ability to go and win others. That is future related. It's an action that we will walk out. I don't think it's a divinely given warning. Can we agree on that one? I mean, I suppose the warning would be if we don't do it, we're not going to be free and we're not going to have liberty. You could take that out of this, but it's not explicit in there. And it functions alongside other gifts, and I think that we saw other gifts at work all weekend. I definitely think this word builds Christ-like character. Doctrinally, it's stable. We should all be drinking deep of the living water that is Jesus Christ, right? We don't have any question about that. And it clearly prepares us for effective ministry to livingly embody Christ in the world, because it's challenging us that we have to step out in that. So if I take this word and I hold it against all of this, is the word good? Do I run with it? Do I hold on to it and activate it in my life? Now, am I charged to do that personally? I'm going to personally do it, and it's going to affect my personal life, But I have to do that because this word is corporate for the body that gathers as Newcastle Pentecostal Church. And I'll tell you this, if I do this and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, and you don't, have we grabbed the word as a body? No, we all have to partner in this. We all have to walk it out. This is how simple it is to look at a prophetic word and discern fitting or not. Is that helpful? We have to do that. And so I will encourage you, if someone thinks they have a word for you, the majority of us own a cell phone and the majority of our cell phones have recording devices, record the word. Because you can come back to it. Because oftentimes what happens is, in the moment, you keep pieces and you miss other pieces, but you need the whole thing. When we have someone here who shares words like that, we try and make sure they're recorded, and then we go the extra step and we try and sit down at a computer and transcribe them so that there's a written copy of them on hand too. I have a copy of, as much as we can, all the prophetic words that have been spoken over this church in the last 8 years. Because we have a responsibility to do something with them. And that is what I want to challenge you this morning is, the next time you hear a word or the ones you have heard, engage with it. Dig deep. Drink deeply of the Spirit of God. That's your call as a believer in that moment. So, can I get you to stand up? Father, we love you so much. We are so thankful that you are a living God who speaks to us, your children, today in a living, active, real way. We are thankful for your scriptures. We are thankful for the guideposts that they provide us in life. We are thankful for the precepts that are in them. And God, I ask that you would firmly plant them in our hearts. God, I ask that you would give every person who can hear my voice a hunger for your word. That God, you would bring it back to mind, that even if we can't remember the passage necessarily, we would remember the precept and we would be able to use the resources around us to find it. God, I pray for a quickening of discernment in the hearts of those who listen. God, I pray that as we go forward in the things of you, that there will be such a clear ability to understand who you are and what you are doing. God, I pray that you would always, in some ways, remain a mystery to us, but the things that you've given us, the skills and the abilities to unpack, that God, you would help us to lean into the things of you and to do the digging so that we can be an empowered and a functional people of God. And God, this morning, I bring before you and before us the words that you called forth last week. God, you brought us here and you planted us here, and we know that you have called us for such a time as this. God, we know that you will use us as a church body. We know that you will use us as your children and you will move through us. And we ask, God, that you would keep our hearts postured to partner with you in that. God, we believe you for regional influence, and we have felt that as a leadership team for a long time. Would you help us to steward that calling well? Would you give us insight and wisdom into how to influence our community in those areas in a godly way? God, you reaffirm that you have set this place apart to be a place of healings and restorations and deliverance and harvests of souls. So God, would you help us to know how we walk that out in you? Would you open the doors? Would you create opportunity? Would you give us strategies that are specific and creative and that they would meet the needs of the people around us? God, we will stand on guard for the things of you. Would you help us to be a people of right doctrine? Would you help us to be a people who rightly divide the word, who dig in, who do the work, God, to understand the precepts of your scriptures and your truths, and to go after you with everything we have. In Jesus' name, amen.